one of the amazing advantages of a meditative life is something Rudy talked about a lot, which is this idea of choice. The world, in its density of structure, often appears not to give us choice. We're all born into a particular physical form. We are born in a specific culture, society. Some of us with more advantages than others. There are many societies that offer not one inkling of the possibility of choice. We're lucky that this country of ours gives us the appearance of choice, and in fact, many of us have a kind of economic choice. We can change things. We can change where we live, we can change how we live, we can change the conditions of our lives, at least externally. But there really are many, many cultures where that's not possible. You're pretty much locked in to the life you're given or assigned, if you will. And within very small parameters, you get certain choices. You know, you might be able to pick whether you go to bed at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, or if you want to sing one song over another song. I mean, there are certain places where those choices appear to exist, but in our culture there's an enormous opportunity for choice all the time. But where we seem not to have choice, at least in the way we live, is in our embrace of our discomforts. So many of us feel locked in. It's a kind of almost locked in syndrome. We find ourselves, this is who I am. This is what I am. And when your thoughts come up, you embrace them. When your emotions rise, you embrace them. You find yourself kind of stuck with the stuff that appears. And it's a very painful condition to be locked into what arises inside you as all there is. And Rudy really taught us that there's an alternative to that. There's an alternative to being stuck or knotted in your life experience, in your personality structure, in your belief system, in your faith or lack of faith. Rudy taught us, and I think all meditative systems basically do teach you, that there is a way to begin to be free of this locked-in nature. I don't know how many of you remember when you're a kid, maybe even an adult, trying to untie a knot in your shoelace, and the harder you try, the worse it gets, the more resistant it becomes. And you really become infuriated. No matter what you do, you can't seem to get that thing untied. And then if you're lucky, somewhere along the way you learn, if you relax, just relax, and you really go thread by thread, you can slowly, slowly untie this thing. And it unravels, and you're free. But the key was relaxing. As Rudy would put it, the key is take a breath. Take a breath. And the thing that is trying to lock you in, to knot you into some kind of tension or complicated space, suddenly loses its density. And by taking a breath, by letting go, by relaxing, by surrendering the world and surrendering your difficulty and surrendering your problem of the moment, you begin to find a kind of spaciousness surrounding it. You begin to find something that allows you perspective. And that perspective is something you gain through effort. The effort's a simple effort, and sometimes it's organic, and some people just know it. The idea, take a breath and relax. You don't have to sit in meditation for an hour to free yourself of a knot that's certainly on the surface. If you're a kid and you're getting really angry at something and somebody, and your mother says, take a breath. And you do, and sometimes you find that it works. And I think I talked about this recently, but you know, this I was watching a program on kids learning to meditate and how they were taught, if you take a breath, you can let go of something that's tormenting you. And this one little girl said that she was asked, does it work? And she says, yeah, but sometimes I got to take 5 breaths. And that's kind of a secret of life. It's not always the one breath. It's the ongoing consciousness to do what you have to do to begin to be free of this thing that says it can't, you can't be free. So when these deep tensions and struggles and angers and hostilities and things rise up in us and frustrations, you really have a choice. And that choice is and it's amazing what happens right here, right in your heart chakra, right in your chest, this grasping, holding configuration that makes you feel like you have no choice at all, suddenly lets go, and you start to see the situation from all these other perspectives. And all of those perspectives give you clarity. And then you realize you're not forced into anything. You can actually choose to come at it this way, or this way, or that way, or that way. And that freedom of choice is a precursor to true liberation. Because if you are living in a situation, let's say a culture, where choice is not available, you can be controlled completely by outside forces, literally imprisoned by outside forces. And I have taught our meditation in prisons, well, in one prison, in Terre Haute, a maximum security prison. And the thing I discovered in teaching this class to guys who were in, many of them for life, was that I never found people more available to what we're doing here than that group, because they knew, unlike us, how limited their choices were. But if you can live in a culture or a country that forbids God knows so much of your behavior, if you are in a prison culture which structures and determines everything, if you're in a mindset in your own life that is a kind of imprisonment, there is a point at which the world can't reach you. There's a place at which you are not imprisoned. There is a place at which you have profound choice. And that's discovered in your meditative experience. When you sit still and you take a breath, and you ask inside for help to surrender, the knottedness of no choice, the tension of imprisonment, suddenly does this very unexpected thing. It just goes, it just opens. And the terrain that is completely obstructed around you opens up inside you. There is a space inside, or a spaciousness inside, that is absolutely vast. It's vast. And it is a place of true being. It's not locked into anything. It's not imprisoned. It's not determined. It is. It just is. And it is so unencumbered. It is so anointing. It is so embracing. It is so freeing that if you can go there and you can be there, even for brief moments in the day, it transforms your day, it transforms your life, it transforms how you live. It's impossible to describe how knotted up people become by their own story, by being encased in a predetermined, it seems, or outer determined sense of who you are. People tell you, you're this, you're that, for better or for worse, that you're no good, or you're the best thing that ever happened. People begin to describe a you that is essentially imprisoned in other people's expectations. And so you live trying to enforce or reinforce those expectations, because in a way you think that's how you'll be free and you'll be comfortable. So you start to discover that people kind of predetermine who you are. So you don't want to say something to your parents that will make them think differently of you, or your teachers, or your lover, or partner. You don't want to change the equation. And so in a way, you've given the power over who you are and what you are to somebody else. Your belief systems are often formed by these forces, your schoolmates, your teachers, your pastors, your rabbis, your ministers. All of these guys convey for you a way that you think the world is. And you get locked into that, and it can be very rigid. It can be very rigid. Buddhist teaching says wrong thought is punishable. Wrong thought. How do you control your thought? What do you do with those kinds of rigidities? What do you do when you're going to be punished for your very existence? How do you live in those conditions? That's very painful. And most people live in pain. Most people live in a state of some kind of suffering imposed upon them by their society, by their friends, by their families, even people who love them. And how do you break out of that? How do you break out of that? Well, you take a breath. You ask inside for help to surrender, meaning let go of all of those conditions. Let go of all of those impositions. Just for a moment, breathe free of it. In our society, you can actually act on that freedom. You can go, I am living in the wrong space. I am living in the wrong way, in the wrong condition of life. I am living perhaps with the wrong people. Whatever the thing is you discover in the wrong job, we pretty much have the ability to change that. That's an extraordinary thing. The good thing about that is you can do it. The bad thing is you think that outer change is going to make the difference. And a lot of people never go in and do the inner change, they just do the outer change, and they're always running from one person to another, or one event to another, one thing to another. Excuse me. And you think that's going to take care of it. And usually it doesn't. I'll tell you one secret. If you run from something that's not working to another thing, something that's unresolved to something else, you're always going to attract the thing that's unresolved again, because it wants to be resolved. And if you are always running in away from something, you're only going to find the same thing. Never run from something that's frustrating you, because you're only going to you're going to discover that that thing keeps coming up. Resolve your issues and move on. Choice is not about escaping something. Choice is about conscious effort to try to rise to, if you will, a freer condition in yourself. You don't get to a freer condition by running from something that's not working. You've got to make your life work. You've got to find a way to do that. And one of the amazing things about taking a breath is you see how to make it work. You see what you need to do. You see the condition that you're in, you see the situation you're in, and you have a choice in how to deal with it. Rudy used to say, if you have a horrible neighbor, you know, who's always creating problems and difficulties, he said, bake them a pie or a cake and take it over to their house. He said, even if they don't accept it, it has a way of breaking the ice inside you, if not in them. And often it will change them because they will be so surprised by the unexpected freedom of choice that you're exhibiting here, not to be angry at them, not to hold them hostage to your belief system or your feelings or your comfort zone, but to do something kind for somebody else can change everything. And it's a kind of loosening up of those tensions that say, I can do it differently. So if you're in a situation with a job that you can't stand, leaving that job that you can't stand and running elsewhere just because you have the freedom in this world to do that, you will find that you'll get the same boss next time. Promise. It'll be a different face and a different mode, but it'll be the same thing. Until you find a way to accept the thing that you want to leave, once you've accepted it, made peace with it, you will have the freedom to move on. You may not want to at that point, but you will have the freedom to change. If you're in a situation that cannot be changed, where the outer condition cannot be altered, whatever that may be, whether it's political, whether it is fundamentally emotional, you know, some of us are tied to situations we can't get out of. Your father moves in with you, your elderly father or mother or whoever, someone who needs to be there. Can you walk away from that? Yes. Should you? Probably not. Can you find a way not to be angry about the imposition? Yes. How do you do that? You take a breath. The situation, which is very hard and very difficult and presents all sorts of struggle, suddenly is no longer an imposition. Suddenly you discover, I can do this. I can give myself over to this. You know, Blanche and I had her mother in our house for 6 years, 9 years, it was forever.
9 years.
9 years, my dad for 6 years. So we had 14 years of caretaking in our house. Did we ever truly enjoy it? I'm not sure that's we did, but we took a lot of breaths. And it kept getting harder and harder, to be honest. It didn't get easier and easier. But the breaths became more and more liberating and allowed us to take care of the business at hand. This is what life brought us. We didn't ask for it. Nobody asked for these things, but they come. And when they come, there is a way to unknot yourself from the tension and the drama and the difficulty and the struggle. And I don't want it like this. It shouldn't be this way. Why did I get this? All of that drama that goes into your life, you can actually breathe it away. And you come to thy will be done. Thy will be done. And all these difficult, demanding situations that come into your life, you can handle. And you can handle them because, one, you realize you have space inside to do it, and two, this is an amazing part, you actually discover they're a gift. Every one of these are a gift. And the more you embrace and say yes to it, the more you go, wow, wow. Even imprisonment, and there are a couple prisoners that I would be with where you could see they knew this. They knew this. They weren't functioning well on the outside, and they were discovering who they were, how to live, through a very, very difficult process. A lot of us have those difficult processes. I read about this guy who he used to teach about end-of-life possibilities, how you can end your life, you know, what drugs to take, things like that. And he ended up as a paraplegic. I mean, was it paraplegic? Nothing. You can't move anything. And here he was, one of these people who advocated being put out of your misery. And he said that, he said, it's amazing what you can put up with just to be alive. You can find space and openness, unable to do anything. You know, it's so remarkable what you can do through simple surrender, and what you can do in terms of touching the source of your own being by just letting go, by opening, by taking a breath. You have a choice, and we all have these choices, and not to take a choice, not to know that you have a choice, is the source of most suffering in this world, and you see it everywhere. You want to go to people so often, I want to just say, take a breath. You don't have, it doesn't, your interior monologue doesn't have to be that monologue. The belief system that you have crystallized into something unchangeable isn't crystal and isn't unchangeable. You can really free yourself of it, but it takes an enormous determination. And, you know, in talking from the chakra system, it takes a want and a wish and a need. And if you go from want to wish to need and you take that breath, and that's why Rudy said double breath. You breathe into your heart and you really engage the wish and ask for help. And then you let out a little bit of air and you take a second breath and you bring it down into the navel chakra and you expand down there. Then you get to need, and then you get this amazing transformation of explosion of possibility. Choice. Choice comes in. And you realize, I don't have to believe what I'm believing. I don't have to think what I'm thinking. I don't have to be caught in my emotions. They're just in the moment. I don't have to build a life around these structures because they are limiting and because they create enormous suffering. And the release from suffering is not fighting yourself and your own condition, your own limitations. And those limitations look like, this is, what else could there be? This is what I am. This is who I am. This is how it is. It's not true. It's a story that you have reinforced over and over and over. And all I'm saying to you is, if you try this meditative track, if you sit down regularly, if you take a breath regularly, and you just go, please help me to surrender, it will happen. Especially if you get it down in your gut. Please help me to surrender. Opening. And in that freedom of inner space, you can look at your emotions and go, I don't have to engage that. You can look at that thought that's been occurring in your head for 50 years and you go, that may not be true. You can look at your faith-based system and go, that's not my system. That was given to me by people when I was 4 years old. You can really look at it differently and go, huh. Now, you may not like that, because a faith-based system that you get when you're 4 years old is so foundational and so fundamental, and you go, oh, what happens if I let go of that? Who am I if I don't believe that stuff? But who are you is a person ready to discover who you are, not who you were told you were, not where you were told what to believe. You really discover what and who you truly are, which may not be given to you instantaneously. You may not suddenly go, oh, I get it, it's not that, it's this, which just means changing one belief system for another. What happens is you go, I don't know. I don't know. If I don't believe that thought, then what do I believe? If I don't engage that emotion, then what am I? Who am I? Engaging that emotion, getting angry at that idea over and over and over, has defined me for all these years. What if I don't do that? You don't know. But try it. Try it and see what happens. It's really, it's like you are suddenly liberated from a pattern of existence. And if that liberation of that pattern comes and it really frees you. You will walk around breathing differently, looking at life differently, existing differently, and you will also discover, and we've talked about this, but that pattern that you freed yourself of is going to try to come back. It's going to try to recreate itself again. Only now, you can watch it doing that. You'll go, oh, wow, there it goes. That system is trying to establish itself again. And then you have a choice, which is an exercise that Rudy gave us a long time ago, called the negative psychic tension release exercise. Negative psychic tension is old patterns that used to be there that you freed yourself of by choice, that when you're not paying attention, are starting to reestablish themselves. And then you pay attention again, you go, oh yeah, wow, look at that, I got to get rid of it. And then it feels like more work, but it can be done very quickly at that point. And Rudy said, just let your hands dangle over the side of a chair, or do it on the toilet, or do it walking down the street, or you can do it even with one hand if you don't want to be conspicuous. And you take a big breath into your heart, and you say, please help me to surrender. And then you add negative, and Rudy said you have to say negative, psychic tension. And you start to feel this patterning that's trying to recreate itself begin to get loosened up again, and it goes out of the top of your head and your temples and your cheeks and your jaws and your neck and your upper body, and it goes down your arms, and it either flows back into the atmosphere or it collects in your hands. And Rudy said, if it does that, they'll feel like they're encased in cement. So you just shake them out like that. And that thing which is trying to come back, you have chosen not to let itself reestablish itself. And you're free of it. You may have to do it a certain number of times and it won't come back again. These are the kinds of choices that sitting in meditation, that sitting still, whether this practice or any practice, it starts to give you that. You start to see yourself from other perspectives than the very simple perspective of old patterning. And that release, that freedom, is the taste of real liberation. Real liberation, and I use the word real as a qualitative word, deeper realization and liberation come suddenly with the falling away of the whole ego-mind structure. After you've been chopping away at it for years, after you've been using your choice mechanism to say, I don't have to buy that, I don't have to do this, this is different, that's another way of looking at it, being freer in yourself, suddenly the very mechanism that's been examined in your freedom of choice no longer holds the kind of weight that it held before, and it collapses. And there you are, not ego-minded you, but this. And then you go, wow, what is this? What am I? If I'm not this person, this separate entity, what am I? I still have this body and there's still a mind, but it's not as configured as it was before and locked in. It's just open up. What am I? And that's the graduate work of spiritual work. That's when we really start to go, I am this. And whatever this is, and you know, it's whatever you may, it could be a prison wall. It could be somewhere in another political system that's full of bombs and awful stuff going on. And it could be this American dream, you know, where you live in extraordinary beauty and possibility. But whatever it is you find yourself in, that's what is. That's what you have. That is your reality, and it is not a reality that is yours individually, it is yours collectively. You are one with all there is. And then, the essence of the spiritual practice that comes at that point is not trying to change that reality, because really at that point, you don't feel the same level of choice. You don't feel a choice when you are one with everything, in what to do to change anything. The only choice you have, honestly, is to let it be or resist. Let it be or resist. It's the only choice. And the only choice that makes sense, you will discover, is let it be. Now you want the Beatles to come in, right? You know, I would do it if I could sing. But it's the only choice. It's the most difficult choice. Because there is stuff that's happening. If bombs are dropping, let's say, letting it be is not easy. If global warming is destroying the atmosphere you're living in, what can you do? I mean, yes, there are certain actions we can do. Everyone knows there are certain things. I mean, you can sign petitions. You can vote for the politician who's trying to end global warming. But when something big like that is happening atmospherically, there's also surrender. What can you do in your environment is open to the thing that arises. Open to the thing that is given to you. You don't have to reach for more because God knows enough is given to all of us individually. And if you're really open, more and more and more will come at you, more than you ever imagined. And you can start to discover how your capacity to be in the deepest possible sense a loving and compassionate expression of existence is your life's work. That's your life's work. To be that which gives, if you will, choice to others. To be the emanation of that possibility. To present yourself to those around you as someone who, through the possibility of choice, found freedom. Who, through loving people, even people trapped in their own drama and in their own situation, by loving them, I cannot tell you how powerful that is. I talked last week, I guess, in LA about someone just putting their hand on your shoulder. You know, or you're putting your hand on someone's shoulder. Or just holding it a second longer when you shake hands or when you touch. The gift of that is so potent. And you become a living expression of it. Not an ego-minded, willful being who wants something back for it. Well, if I love this person, they'll love me. It's completely other than that. It's so selfless. It's wanting to give because it is you. It is everything you're seeing, everything you're touching is you. What else is it? There's only one thing. It's only one self. And that self wants, it's driven to comfort and give joy to, or to give help to, or to give compassion to, and understanding to, or acknowledgement to itself. That's what we're doing. That's what we're all doing. And that's the role we play. So at that point, your choice is, do I just contract, which you can do, and just live in this kind of contracted state, or expanded state, meaning selflessness and giving. And even when you arrive at awakening, you will see that this universe that we're in is very dynamic. And being one with it is the greatest teaching there is and the most difficult, the most powerful, and the most demanding. So you don't arrive at liberation and find yourself triumphant, grand, worthy of celebration and honoring. None of that comes in. You're just one with the air. You're one with the dynamic of being in the universe. And it's an extraordinary state to be in. And it's very, very demanding for everybody. You don't find yourself, I mean, some people do, you know, just being carried on, you know, some kind of platform, and people parade you around, and people throw flowers at you, and bow and kiss your feet. You know, I mean, that can happen, but the real condition of awakening is that you cannot help but want to serve what's in front of you. You don't have to go out and you can go work in soup kitchens if you want. I mean, that's all fine. You can do any of that. But trust me, there's enough stuff in your life at any given moment to do in the people right around you, not 5 feet away, and not people twice removed, who's in front of you? Rudy always says, everybody's good at working the people on the outer rims of the mandala, because they only take occasional effort. But the people right in the core, right in the center, who are those people? That's your work. That's the stuff of your life, the people who are right there. And you have to find a way to make it work for them. And Rudy said, and you've all heard me say this before, those of you who know me, but this is Rudy's line. He said, you do not judge the success of your spiritual life by your happiness, but by the happiness of the people around you. It's really important. And you're responsible not to make them happy, but to create an environment in which their happiness can happen. That's really our job, and that's our work. And that's why Rudy called this work, because it's not passive on any level. This thing of choice doesn't release you from choosing. It gives you an opportunity to choose consciously, either to be entombed in your own drama and your own frustration and your own angers and beliefs, or to be free to choose another path. And that's what we're up against. And we all have that opportunity. And every time you take a breath, that's what you're expressing. You are liberating yourself one step at a time from all of the programming to finally discover something that is really, really free. So, thank you guys for coming here. Keep taking those breaths. Good luck with this. I mean, it's really a process. It's really work. And, you know, if you think you're going to walk away with magical powers and superhero strength and all that kind of stuff, you know, you're probably at the wrong class, because you're just going to walk away with being human and discovering what that means. Any questions? Okay. Thanks for coming, guys. There will be a class next week here. Next 2 weeks? Okay. Next 2 weeks. Thank you.